It is Wednesday. You know what that means. No, it's not hump day. It's Brain Stew Wrestling Day.
Well, it is also hump day, so if you guess that, you're also right.
Well, I'd like to refer not be hump day. It's Brain Stew Wrestling Day. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are live. Pro Wrestling Talk without the PG filter. My name is Hammy, and joining me in studio, as always, is Michael Hipster Punchy Falcone.
Yes, and it's announcement time before we get into the wrestling talk.
Yeah, we got a couple network announcements. First off, Katie, who is off mic here, off camera, she and co-host slash my girlfriend Tess's podcast, Good Girls Bad Thoughts, has been killing it with the reach. Man, for first episode, not only did they sound really good, but I mean, look at their every podcast that we post on the Brain Stew Radio website has a view count for because it came with the website theme or whatever, and there's no way I could turn it off. You look at it, and they are nearly double of what everyone else's were last week. We got several more followers on SoundCloud and on the social medias because of these two. So, wow, what a splash these two made. So,
you can't see it on camera, but she's physically gloating that fact right
now. That's a golf clap. There you go. You have a little golf clap. So, again, bravo, guys. There are two new podcasts that will be debuting on the Brain Stew Radio Network next week. The first is I Want to Go to There, a 30 Rock themed podcast. Tess and Christian will be recapping every episode of the acclaimed series in order by which they aired, starting with the pilot of 30 Rock next Tuesday, 9 a.m. And every Tuesday from here on out at 9 a.m., you will be able to download a new episode of I Want to Go to There. And there's a little something that Punchy and I are going to be doing starting next week.
That's right.
Punchy, you want to lead in with this?
Yes. I contacted Hammy because I had heard through the grapevine that he wanted to do a TV show-based podcast.
I originally was going to do one about The Sopranos I'm an obsessed fan of this show. It's already been done!
That and because of your affinity for guinea teas, but that's
yes, well, first off, it's summertime still. And
it's fall.
For those of you who don't know what sound-absorbing fabric does, it makes whatever room it's in really, really hot. So it's really hot in here, despite an air conditioner right here blowing ice cold air on everybody. It's still hot. I still need to be in a little guinea tea here. So either I look really bad or I get very grumpy because I sweat to death in here. And for on video,
you're always grumpy.
I like to show off a little sex appeal. So how you doing? Channeling my little chubby Enzo Amore here.
He's trying. Does that mean I'm big cast and have to carry you during matches?
Yes. So, I wanted to do a Sopranos-based episodic review podcast, and it's already been done. Someone's already done that idea.
I found that out, and I, with some suggestion, decided that a good idea would be to make a South Park episode rundown or recap type show. We're calling it Screw You Guys, I'm Going Home, the podcast.
And that will be debuting Thursday mornings along with the Brain Stew Wrestling video podcast. Screw You Guys, I'm Going Home will be debuting Thursdays after the new episodes of South Park, which air starting next Wednesday. We're starting off with the season debut next week.
Oh.
And then from there, we will be recapping each episode in episodic order. So we're kind of starting from season 20, and then we're going to
I didn't realize the next season started so quickly.
Yes, they do.
Start with episode one.
They start, I believe, next week. New episodes, I believe, either next Wednesday or the Wednesday after that.
Either way, we start next week.
Either way, we're starting next week here. So, Screw You Guys, I'm Going Home, a South Park recap podcast, and I Want to Go to There, 30 Rock podcast recap, will be debuting next week. Two new shows, And that brings a total up to 8 shows on Brainstew Radio. Not that I'm keeping count here. That you guys can subscribe to. They will all have their own individual RSS feeds and be all a part of the Brainstew Radio master RSS feed that you can subscribe in iTunes. So there you go.
And for those of you who don't know, there's more podcasts on the way. Also, the Screw You Guys, I'm Going Home show has a bomb logo.
Yes. Like, thank you, King, host of Social Downfall Radio and Stay Tuned Sports, which, again, another brand new show that debuted, doing great. And Skunk Duck Designs. There you go. I can't talk today. King does the best graphics you'll ever see. Whether you are a business, a band, a podcast, whatever, King will do the best work. I just told him the idea for our podcast, and he
immediately
gets it. Immediately, within a day, he sent it.
It looks very South Parkish for those who haven't seen it.
Yes, it does. I never had my face like turn into a South Park character before.
I love, though, how he had to make my eyes actual person proportions because of the glasses.
I know. It's the little tiny detail.
Yeah. So, we're a wrestling show. We did our announcements. Time to talk wrestling.
Yes.
The top thing to talk about, there's a reason I'm wearing this shirt, folks. This week, the long-anticipated UFC debut of one CM Punk. That's Hammy. Puts the logo on there so everyone can
just
see
wanted
how awesome
to,
it is.
Like, come on. Bravo to King. Yes. All right. The biggest story by far today and this week, and quite frankly, for the past 20 months now, has been CM Punk, former WWE World Champion, leaving the world of pro wrestling and the very good living he was making in pro wrestling to now fight in the UFC. Not just fight in minor leagues, not fight independently, not even fighting for Bellator, which is the TNA of mixed martial arts,
yep,
but UFC.
Because Dana White's not a dummy.
Dana White is no dummy. He is the co-main event of UFC 203, which is this Saturday.
Okay, he might be a dummy politically, but he's not a dummy when it comes to promoting his brand.
We can disagree with a few of his political beliefs and who he endorses, but no one can deny Dana White and the Fertitta brothers, they invested just a few million dollars into the UFC, and in less than 20 years, wow.
And
they sold it for
$4 billion
to the WME Entertainment Group, which is head by Ari Emanuel, who, if you don't know what kind of person this guy is, ever watch a show Entourage?
Yeah,
Ari Gold. That's Ari Emanuel. He basically runs Hollywood.
Yep. And
so,
now he runs the UFC, but Dana White's still in tow because
he's basically the face. He's the communique between the fighters and the upper tier management,
so
basically.
They're basically doing with CM Punk what they did with Brock Lesnar on a much smaller scale.
Yes.
But they're using that name from WWE and someone who was a big name. At one point, CM Punk was even outselling John Cena merchandise-wise. That's the kind of following he has. Granted, he alienated some of it with his wrestling comments since signing with the UFC, but there's still going to be a ton of people watching this pay-per-view.
Well, yeah, we entered the show tonight with Bridge Burning, which I dedicate to CM Punk's relationship with WWE. But the fact of the matter is, Phil Brooks, a.k.a. CM Punk, a.k.a. the voice of the voiceless, a.k.a. the very reason Mike and I are watching professional wrestling,
yes,
today.
And let's face it, the very reason a lot of that started the domino effect as to why a lot of guys are in WWE in the positions they're in.
We're going to get into that in a second. But CM Punk, he is fighting Mickey Gall, who is 2-0. At UFC 203 in the co-main event. Now, let me just give you an idea about the promotion of UFC 203. The main event is Stipe Miocic, who won the title and is a resident in Cleveland.
Yep.
The pay-per-view, UFC 203, is in Cleveland.
Yep.
So the champ is fighting in his hometown.
And all the focus.
And all of the focus is on 37-year-old rookie CM Punk.
Well, to be fair, A, Overeem's probably going to win that fight, and B, CM Punk's a much bigger name overall as far as crossover appeal, and that arena is where he pretty much walked out of WWE.
Well, we can leave the predicting of the fights to Matt and Jeff, not the Hardy Boys, of the Cage Crew. See what I'm doing here?
Yes.
The Cage Crew, uncensored mixed martial arts and combat sports talk every Friday at 4 p.m.
So you mean
on Bracelet Radio.
So you mean Cage Crew is not hosted by Broken Matt and Brother Nero?
No. They're actually Matt and Jeff, not the Hardy Boys, because we actually liked Matt and Jeff, the Hardy Boys, back then. That's when we liked Matt and Jeff. Although it's kind of funny now that I really love Broken Matt Hardy and Brother Nero now.
Now that that cat's out of the bag, people are going to stop thinking it's those two doing an MMA show instead of just Matt and Jeff, not the Hardys. And now they're going to get less listeners. They're like, why isn't he talking?
Another show on the Brain State Radio Network that's just killing it.
Yep.
Every show we bring on, they do better than us. What the fuck? What the fuck, guys?
We're that, like, failed athlete who becomes a really good general manager.
Yes! So, CM Punk, what is his legacy that leaves pro wrestling?
So, I mean,
let's just start off the bat with the fact that CM Punk single-handedly brought an entire generation of wrestling fans back into the mainstream. He brought us, who grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, and really come to to love pro wrestling in the late 90s, early 2000s. And then around 2008, 2009, I'd say, we kind of just all right.
I remember, like, I was like, all right, Cena's winning every pay-per-view. He's retaining, overcoming a stacked deck. Then there are, so, like, our problem in the mid-2000s was, hey, they're trying to portray John Cena as Little Mac in Punch-Out, and they're pushing him like Mike Tyson or Mr. Sandman in Punch-Out.
Yes. John Cena was dominating everything. He was a face of the WWE. He was and is this generation's Hulk Hogan. I have no problem in saying that.
Well, the only difference is John Cena puts people over, but
that is true, and he's actually more likable off camera than Hulk Hogan, and doesn't have sex with has-been radio guys' wives. But
doesn't drop the N-bomb after said sex with has-been radio guys' ex-wives.
But that's not what's important right now. The point is
not
airplane. the point is John Cena was the face of the WWE, still arguably is the face of the WWE. And he was just winning every pay-per-view because he was selling. His merch was selling. It was a smart business decision, but longtime fans like us were getting bored with WWE just the same as longtime fans of WWE were getting bored of Hulk Hogan.
Yep.
We were just like, okay, screw this guy. We can't stand him anymore. I'm done.
We basically looked at WWE and said, screw you guys, I'm going to UFC.
Yes, exactly. And then along comes a guy named CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we still watched WrestleMania every year. We still watched the Royal Rumble just to see, like, okay, has it improved? And not really.
I remember going through Twitter and seeing the Twitter world reacting to the pipe bomb and just being like, what just happened? So I went to YouTube, watched the pipe bomb because it's, and just was blown away by the promo. He literally said every single thing that we find wrong with the company. And I think that's what reeled in a lot of people, because they dangled that carrot of, hey, things are going to change, guys. Seriously, we're going to give him the title. Because I don't think anybody believed he was going to leave during that feud.
Yeah, there was a period of, I want to say, at least 4 or 5 years for me that I was just, okay, I was done. I think like after WrestleMania, I would say a little after WrestleMania 20, I stopped watching full time. And I still watched every WrestleMania. I haven't missed a WrestleMania because I will forever love pro wrestling. Yeah. So I watched every WrestleMania. And the last time from 2004 onward, I'd say the one time that before Pipe Bomb that I was really legitimately blown away and shocked in the world of pro wrestling was when Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels buried the hatchet. And later to find out that that was all legit and Michaels didn't know that was coming, that to me was like, oh, wow, maybe I should start watching wrestling again. And then I quickly was reminded why I'd stopped watching wrestling. Because John Cena wins, LOL. And then I started to hear about CM Punk and started watching his matches prior to WWE. I'm like, oh, wow, this guy's a very talented wrestler. He's a very talented mic worker. He's excellent in the ring. Yep. He's great on mic. He's great on commentary.
I want to point out, too, that a lot of you CM Punk marks, while you were booing him winning Money in the Bank at WrestleManias a couple years before, I was glad he won those Money in the Banks. Yes, I wrestling hipstered all of you, but it's true.
I mean, I didn't know of CM Punk prior to his appearance in WWE. I'm going to be honest here. I didn't know. But people started telling me to like Google his matches. So I started watching. I was like, oh, wow. Like, he's really talented.
I will admit,
why isn't he the most over person in WWE? He clearly has everything to be the biggest heel. And then I started getting into his Straighter Society stable. I'm like,
his
oh, my
Jeff
God.
Hardy feud.
This is amazing.
You know, like, so they did the right thing. Well, this is like, he was able to become a star because of the original brand split. And I do want to point out, I do regret not going to that Ring of Honor show in Morristown in 2005 where he won the title for Ring of Honor, like right when he signed. But the thing with CM Punk is he was allowed to grow because of the brand split. Because he was put on SmackDown, which was their wrestling show at the time. Like, that's where all the really good wrestling was, while John Cena and crew, like the boring crew that was on Raw at the time, was just doing their shitty thing.
And they were just doing their shticks.
Meanwhile,
it was boring.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you had CM Punk first having his feud with Jeff Hardy, which was a great feud and featured some amazing promo work by CM Punk.
And remember, sorry to interrupt you, just remember, this is back when SmackDown was still taped on Tuesday nights.
Yep.
So I always watch for spoilers, and I never watched a full episode of SmackDown unless it's live. Fuck you, I'm not going to watch it. I read the spoilers on SmackDown, and if something involved CM Punk or something involved something that I was interested in,
you
I would watch
that
segment or that match. And then if there was a marquee matchup that I was interested in, I would watch it. But in general, I was done with wrestling as a fan full time.
I've got a good example of that as well. Back like a couple years ago when they were like teasing Cesaro splitting from the Real Americans, and they had him in that Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Championship, and he beat Randy Orton clean in a match on SmackDown. I put on SmackDown like during its actual airing and just ignored everything until the last match.
I mean, what we're trying to get here, folks, is Mike and I stopped watching wrestling quite often. We definitely don't watch as much as we do now.
Okay,
but there was a period of 4 or 5 years, we could say, from 2005-ish to 2010-ish, and then...
Well, no, because like with Raw, if I'm watching...
For me, at least.
Yeah, if I'm watching Raw, I'll watch it all the way through, no matter what. I might have to watch it Tuesday next week because there's a 49ers game, but... But SmackDown, because it's pre-taped, and so you know who's going to win 2 days in advance at the time, or 3 days in advance when they moved it to Fridays, it gives you less of an incentive to watch the whole show, especially if you find out that one of the matches on SmackDown is a shitty match between Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel.
Right.
That got one star the crowd wasn't into. So, like, if there's a match like that where it kills your incentive to watch the whole show, then you're going to just cherry pick. You're going to either download it and watch whatever segment you want to watch, or go to YouTube and watch those segments when someone posts them the day after the show.
Right. So, like I said a couple minutes ago, the last time I was really blown away with a wrestling anything, after WrestleMania 20, which is when I kind of stopped watching full-time, was when Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels reconciled in the ring. The next moment after that was a night in June 2011. And you know where I'm going, Michael.
June 26, 2011. No.
You remember the exact date. I don't remember the date. I knew it was in June. But CM Punk does his infamous pipe bomb promo. Everyone talks about this as being one of the best promos in the past 20 years of professional wrestling, and dare I say, it's one of the best moments in wrestling in the past 20 years, because what CM Punk did in a very PG, very boring, very just miserable to watch wrestling product, he took a microphone and with one speech, he not only pulled the curtain back on all of the bullshit that was going on behind the scenes, but he took McMahon to the bank with his truth bombs, breaking fourth wall, calling out other wrestling promotions, which was a huge no-no, unless they were bought by WWE. And he laid into John Cena what he is as the face of WWE and dared to even call out The Rock, which was one of the, if I were to put a Mount Rushmore of wrestlers, for me at least, The Rock would absolutely be on there.
Also, more importantly, he made the ending of a John Cena R-Truth match interesting.
Correct. Minor note there. But CM Punk called out everybody.
And what made it connect even more with the fans, he did it wearing an Austin shirt.
Yes. So I hear about this promo. I'm like, all right, I'll check it out. I watched this promo, jaw dropped. I was so blown away by what he said. Since then, full time, I am watching, because I didn't know that this whole thing was scripted. I didn't know the pipe bomb was a shoot. I thought it was just, wow, Vince McMahon's getting some balls again, letting these people do it, which, in fact, ended up happening. What ended up happening was he gave Punk the okay to go shoot.
Yep.
To just air out his grievances. And I can't, as you watch in the Punk documentary that WWE put out, Punk even said in his interview, really? You're going to let me do this? Like, are you crazy? So you watch this promo. Mike, I don't know about you, but when I first saw this promo, I was so shocked, both in good ways and bad ways, and any kind of way you could think of. This is hands down one of the top 10 moments of the WWE modern era. And I say modern era from post-Attitude era, so 2002 to today.
And you know what they should have done in that gap of time that CM Punk wasn't with the company? They should have, like, actually made agreements to have him defend the title in, like, indie promotions, like Ring of Honor, for example, and stuff. I mean, that could have been the least they did after the roster raid they did with Ring of Honor a couple years later. But, like, you know, done that, like, or, you know, like, PWG, New Japan, like, stuff like that, to let him have matches there as a WWE contracted guy to promote the fact that he's not under contract, as I do quote marks at the time. Just to give it a little more extra realism. But even with every single word CM Punk said, what made this promo work even more was the very end, where it sounded like he was getting into like a backstage story about Vince, and they cut the mic, which was planned. They basically told him, talk until a certain point and then we'll cut the mic. And then it made it like they were cutting his microphone, and then he was suspended the next week again, which added to the realism of it.
After we watched this promo, I said to myself, I can't believe, I never thought I would say this again, but I am hooked on watching Monday Night Raw. I'm going to watch whatever happens next. And sure enough, what followed with CM Punk and these pipe bombs, he had a contract signing the week before his contract expired, which I ended up Googling to, like, oh, wow, this is legit. Like, he really hasn't re-signed yet. So this is part real, part worked. Like, every promo in exchange, this is a worked shoot Punk basically has. Because what are they going to do, suspend him?
We did find out that he did sign a little bit of an extension to get him through the pay-per-view.
Yes.
And then he eventually signed a deal, like, right before Money in the Bank.
Minutes before he goes on.
Yeah.
Like, minutes before the show started.
Well,
he re-signs.
Yeah.
But this contract signing, like, just like with weddings in wrestling, contract signings never end well. Unless your name's Randy Savage. But Punk had a contract.
But hey, did the Randy Savage wedding really end well?
No.
Jake Roberts had his whole thing in character, but also that.
But CM Punk had a contract signed with Vince McMahon, and I actually was watching this again right before you got here to do the show, and a lot of what I was watching, I still couldn't believe. Like, in a watered-down, PG, boring, bullshit product, and knowing what was really happening behind the scenes, Punk just laying into Vince in the middle of the ring on camera. What are you going to do, cut his mic if he says something wrong? The chairman's right there.
Yep.
So Vince would not only get pissed off at the people in the back, but it would just make for bad TV. The focus is on Punk and Vince, and Punk is just laying into McMahon and saying things that no one ever would have the balls to say to Vince McMahon. And I'm watching this, and I can't believe this is going on. And then the payoff to end all payoffs, Money in the Bank 2011 comes. And then we get, in my mind, one of the biggest pops wrestling has ever seen.
Oh, that was...
This was the first non-WrestleMania that I... WWE pay-per-view I watched. Just for this match.
Me too. Like, first one in a while. And they let it... You know, though, even bigger than that pop was when he pinned John Cena in that match.
So not only did Punk get... I think Jerry the King Lawler actually says it here. It would be like if the Chicago Bears were in the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl was in Chicago.
Yep.
I believe that's exactly what King said.
And if they won. Oh, look, he's wearing the shirt that I'm wearing.
But Punk comes out. Him and Cena have a fantastic match.
Really? Yeah.
They tear the house down. What a match.
This is the first. Oh,
and Punk wins.
Yep, Punk wins. Now, granted, it wasn't a clean win, but for those who say John Cena doesn't put people over, since this match with CM Punk, he pretty much had to put over Brock Lesnar, but he put over Daniel Bryan clean, put over Seth Rollins, put over Kevin Owens clean. Also, added Seth Rollins, he put over The Shield early in The Shield's existence, too. Put over AJ Styles, and then put him over again, clean.
CM Punk was the catalyst to a lot of things
yep.
that are in WWE right now. Punk and WWE may be having legal troubles now. I mean, they are suing him. But
yeah, which
and we're probably never, ever going to see him on WWE TV ever again. We're probably never going to see
him. Hey, you know, we thought we would never see Bret Hart on WWE TV again.
Yeah, but Bret Hart's not CM Punk, though.
Yeah, but CM Punk's brother didn't also die because of a mishap because of a WWE stunt.
That's true. That's very true. But
that's harder to get over than a contract or lawsuit squabble.
Who knows? We might see him back. We may, I say we never see him again.
Oh, all right.
But that's entirely besides the point.
The only way we see him back is if Vince is still alive and insists on bringing him back. Kind of like with Lesnar. Hey, we thought we would never see Lesnar in a WWE ring again.
Never thought we'd see it. There's a lot of things that, I mean, there is, I know it's really hacky to say, but never say never in the pro wrestling world.
I mean, the more power Triple H gets because of the way that ended with them, the less likely it is.
If he can bring Bruno Sammartino back, if he could bring the Ultimate Warrior back, if he could bring Sting into WWE,
anything.
I'm sure he can probably work out his differences with Punk and maybe get something. I don't know. I would love to see Punk at least have good graces with WWE or at least have good graces with professional wrestling again.
What I think will happen down the road is that he signs a Legends contract so they can at least like do a mutual agreement.
Or like put him in the Hall of Fame or something.
Yeah, something like that.
But let's go back to 2011 if we can. After he won the championship, I still didn't know for real if he really did re-sign his contract. I for real didn't know. And then a couple weeks go by, and then him and Cena have another match for the Undisputed Championship. And another great match. And then that was a catalyst and what got me into loving professional wrestling again.
Yes. Oh, and I have another bit of CM Punk news when we're... Yeah, something major, actually. This came out in the last couple days. Apparently, CM Punk had a falling out with Colt Cabana. Because Colt Cabana attended Raw recently, which apparently makes his lawsuit look bad. So,
I mean, Cabana's so off his buddy list now, I guess.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not saying Punk isn't bitter, isn't the bitter type. I'm not saying he's probably the best person to know personally. I bet he is kind of a dick. But this is a pro wrestling podcast. This is a pro wrestling show. What did he do in the eyes of pro wrestling?
Yeah.
I mean, we're crediting CM Punk single-handedly to bringing us back into the fold of being a fan of pro wrestling. We're giving him the credit to inspiring us to watch other pro wrestling promotions. We're crediting him with getting us back as fans of pro wrestling. And his legacy, he was the first guy in many years as being a true marketable, quote-unquote, small guy, and he was the first, dare I say, Punchy, you could probably correct me on this, he was the first, quote-unquote, indie darling to reach the top of the mountain in WWE and be a real marketable main event player for quite some time.
Yeah.
There are people that have come and gone and had mediocre title runs, people that have come and clearly deserved a title win, but they never really did anything with them. Like, I think of Chris Benoit's title run. His world title run wasn't really that great, and it was just used as, all right, fine, here's your moment, now put over Randy Orton. Like, it was that. It was that. Eddie Guerrero, one of the best wins in championship history. And sure enough, he loses it to JBL like he fucking needed it. Yeah. So what I'm saying is Punk was the guy who won the title and A, had a successful title run and was pushed and got the real legit main event push that he deserved, and B, was the quote-unquote indie darling who came from the independent circuits,
yep,
and reached the top of the mountain and stayed there and had a long, lengthy run at the top.
434 days.
Exactly. And what that opened for other wrestlers was the chance for every wrestler who was coming to WWE and say, I can do that. I can be the next CM Punk. I can get to that top of the. I can get to the top of the mountain. I can grab the brass reins. And sure enough, what happened? There's a guy named Bryan Danielson,
who's a surefire Hall of Famer because of how big he is and how popular he still is, even now that he's long retired.
Still, to this day, one of the most over people WWE has on their payroll. Daniel Bryan is the complete opposite of what Vince McMahon would love as a world champion.
Oh, yeah. He could not be any more opposite than what Vince would like.
But
Vince,
what CM Punk did was inspire the fans to cheer for a guy like Daniel Bryan. And not to mention Bryan's... I'm not saying Bryan needed CM Punk to for people to recognize him as a great wrestler. He already did that. What I'm saying is, in the eyes of the WWE brass, CM Punk opened the door for Daniel Bryan. And for that, that is CM Punk's true legacy in WWE. No one can deny this. Punk opened the door for everything we see today. And for that,
yeah,
we gotta give credit where credit's due to CM Punk. Now, before we take our break here, he's fighting in a co-main event of UFC 203. He's fighting, basically, still, you could almost say a rookie in Mickey Gall.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, even by local and national guidelines, There's no way that match would have happened if it was against someone more experienced.
There's no way this fight should be legally happening anyway. Because the Ohio Athletic Commission says in their rules that you have to have at least 5 amateur fights before you turn pro. You have to have a certain amount of fights before you can get a license to do MMA in their state. And precisely. Punk has none. And their reason, their excuse for just waiving these rules is, oh, he had success. He had applicable experiences in WWE. What?
No. I mean, if they wanted to use an excuse as to why he's got that, they could at least have said all the simulated fights he did.
Not official, though.
I know. But, hey, you know what? Somehow he did it.
There are some rule-breaking shit going on with this.
I mean, let's face it. A UFC match is actual sport. It actually, you know...
It's real.
But you take more punishment doing a wrestling match.
I think a year as a pro wrestler, I believe, and I'm probably going to get flack from MMA purists out there, I think a year as a pro wrestler is more damage to your body than a year as an MMA fighter.
Yeah, and you see...
You fight, what, 4 or 5 times a year?
I can back science up if anybody gives you shit in the mixed martial arts camp. Again, yes, mixed martial arts, it is... a contact sport. But the training that they do day in and day out, most of the time they've got padding. A lot of it is mat wrestling and all that. Whereas in wrestling, CM Punk maybe wrestled 5 times a week, and that's falling regardless of whether or not it's a predetermined match. Taking a bump is still falling. And a lot of times, there's high-risk moves. Every time he would do that elbow drop, that's landing on the hip and the back. Anytime he would take a back bump, something to the back. Times that he's taking moves and he's taking too heavy of a back bump, and then his head's hit the... And for those who don't know what the wrestling mats are made of, it's just basically wood planks covered by some padding and a mat. That's pretty much what a wrestling ring is. And not to mention, the ropes aren't forgiving. So... getting bounced at the ropes can also hurt as well.
And not to mention the amount of times you have to actually go and come and wrestle. I mean, don't forget, I mean, guys like Seth Rollins, yeah, you see them every Monday night, but you don't see them at the live events. You don't see their travel schedule. You don't see they're home 1 day a week, tops, maybe. And so life as a pro wrestler is, I believe, much more grueling than the life of an MMA fighter.
And, all right, Jericho posted an Instagram, a Snapchat, showing his schedule, and it was something, they're pretty much going to be in, 3 continents and 4 within the span of, a week. Or, 4 countries, 3 continents in the span between the 2 Raws. Because they're in England, and they're going, I think, to Korea or Thailand, and then they're going back to the U.S. for Raw.
Insane. So, our final thing on Punk and his MMA debut. Let's get to a little bit of the MMA side of this.
All right.
And we'll leave the Cage Crew to be more... Cage Crew guys, Matt and Jeff, not the Hardy Boys. We'll leave them to be the analysts here and take more into detail this. But I have a simple question here. What does that say about Mickey Gall if CM Punk comes out and wins this? Whether he wins by decision, whether he wins by Gall tearing his ACL and getting an injury, whether he wins in an ugly, bad fight for both of them and he just comes out the winner, the end result is a W in the UFC. The pro wrestler comes to MMA and beats the MMA guy.
Yeah. Let's face it, Mickey Gall probably got some sort of a deal with UFC where no matter what, win or lose, they're going to keep him around for a few fights for doing them a solid and being CM Punk's opponent.
But what does that say, though, to you, Mike? What does that say to you if Punk comes in? Because as both a wrestling fan and an MMA fan, I don't like both as a wrestling fan and I'm getting more of a fan, becoming more of a fan of MMA. Both with my day job and just dealing with watching it every day.
Okay.
To me, that says that not only did Dana White do brilliant business with bringing him in, but Punk, he's proving every naysayer wrong here if he comes in and wins this.
Well, here's the thing. Punk won't be the first pro wrestler to transition to mixed martial arts. I mean,
he isn't the first.
Not including Brock Lesnar, because
Bobby Lashley came in, Batista came in.
Yeah, Batista kind of came in, but also, like, if you look at Pride, there's a lot, like, most of the Japanese fighters in Pride back then are guys who are also pro wrestlers. Kazuyoshi Sakuraba, for example, very well-known Pride fighting championship figure, but also works for New Japan as a pro wrestler. Most of the guys from Japan trained as pro wrestlers. Ken Shamrock was a pro wrestler before doing the first UFC tournament, then went back to pro wrestling, and then went back to mixed martial arts. Dan Severn had his run in pro wrestling after his initial UFC run, and then went back to, and I think, like, either still fights mixed martial arts at his old age or is just retired. Like, he at some point is becoming the Terry Funk of mixed martial arts. Don Fry is another example. Giant Silva from the Oddities went from pro wrestling to Pride in MMA. Alberto Del Rio, under his Dos Caras 2 mask, fought in Pride fighting. So there's been a lot of... It's not unprecedented. So at this point, I'm not fazed by a pro wrestler going into mixed martial arts.
But yet, in the eyes of MMA purists everywhere, this is taboo. This is taboo territory.
Listen, most of those MMA purists are forgetting how many ex-pro wrestlers fought for Pride. And a lot of MMA purists were big Pride fans. They had no issue with a lot of the people who were in Pride that had pro wrestling backgrounds. So I think they're doing this now because it's a more high-profile example.
And, dare I ask, are they threatened at the idea of Punk winning?
I mean, all right, my issue with MMA purists giving Punk shit is that they're taking the same ignorant response about it that the boxing world takes with mixed martial arts. Boxing has been done nothing but shit on mixed martial arts the whole time and do everything they could to prevent them from getting into New York, which, haha, suck it, boxing. It's in there now.
UFC 205, New York.
So everything they could to prevent that from happening, because they found UFC to be barbaric, or mixed martial arts to be barbaric. And they lost that battle. I think mixed martial arts fans and mixed martial arts purists are wasting their time, especially considering how many people in mixed martial arts are fans of WWE and how many WWE wrestlers and how many wrestlers in general are fans of mixed martial arts. I mean, a lot of guys now in the indies are using mixed martial arts themes and types of moves as part of their pro wrestling repertoire. So, like, a lot of the guys in the Cruiserweight Classic, like Gargano and Ciampa, guys who pro wrestlers, but there's that mixed martial arts influence, or Red Dragon of Ring of Honor. Even CM Punk was doing some UFC. Even Undertaker, his Heaven's Gate, which is just basically a Gogo Plata. So, there's, like, people who are fans.
There's MMA influence on wrestling just as much as there's wrestling influence on MMA.
Conor McGregor's shit-talking.
Michael Bisping shit-talking.
Michael Bisping shit-talking. I forget his name, but the one guy who used to always talk to
me. You see all the time. I'm glad you brought this up, Mike, because there are a lot of MMA fans that complain and whine as way more than wrestling fans when a fight is scheduled that, like, that doesn't make sense. Why would Dana do this? The champion should fight the contender, not what the brass wants. We hear a lot of those complaints from the pro wrestling world, too. So, while MMA is real, it is real fighting, and it is the ultimate form of combat sports, I will never not deny this. The fans and the arguing points that fans make for this are just as similar, if not greater sum, than pro wrestling fans.
Yep.
They could be just as whiny.
All right, so we used three quarters of the show on CM Punk and...
We did, except the final thoughts. I say if Punk wins, he's going to win in the second round via choke. But if I were to bet on this, Gall destroys him. I mean, we spent 50 minutes of this show talking about CM Punk and what a legacy is, and then I'm saying he's probably going to get destroyed.
Hey, if he wins a couple matches, though, WWE might be like, hey, you know what? We'll main event you in WrestleMania. Come back.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll find out. UFC 203 airs live this Saturday. And good luck to CM Punk. Seriously, like, I hope he wins. I want him to win. I am cheering for him to win. But we'll see. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are definitely going to go over tonight, fellas. But when we come back, we're going to have your Raw and SmackDown recap, as well as your Backlash predictions when we come back. So don't go anywhere. Stay right there. This is Brainstew Wrestling. We will be back right after this.
Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com.
Who doesn't like to be naked? Sure, we all do. But the police usually frown upon public nudity. Well, now you can stay out of jail and look good doing so with a t-shirt from Skunk Duck Design. From sports to politics to the wide world of nerdcraft, there's a shirt for you at Skunk Duck. They even have shirts for you 420 followers. Skunk Duck shirts come in both a regular and women's cut, and with sizes from extra small to 5XL, there's a shirt for everyone. Oh, did I mention they have hoodies too? Because they totally have hoodies. Go to teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign to get the shirt that's right for you. That's teespring.com/stores/skunkduckdesign. New shirts are being added all the time, so follow Skunk Duck on social media at facebook.com/skunkduckdesign for all the latest updates. Skunk Duck Design, the best ducking designs on the web.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of Northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
All right. Yeah. Brainstew Wrestling. Dare I say almost second hour here. All right. Monday Night Raw. Let's just get right into it. Monday Night Raw recap. Oh, boy. There were one or two good things and a lot of, well, maybe you shouldn't have done that things.
There's a couple good things there. There's some good matches.
I just said, Michael.
Yeah. A couple really good promos. And most of it was just there. For example, just the stuff that was there, like, they had yet another Nia Jax squash. But they used it as a means to, like, give her her first feud with a non-local talent jobber. And then they, you know, there was a funny, an unintentionally funny moment backstage when Alicia Fox, who's the friend of the person, the jobber that Nia Jax squashed, like, got in her face, and she was going crazy throwing shit, and something accidentally hit Nia Jax in the face. So you have this moment where, like, Alicia Fox almost breaks character to check on her face, but then is like, holy shit, I've got to be in character. This is on live TV. So just like, then it starts going back to being crazy Alicia Fox.
Yeah, there were a few moments like that that really impressed me with this week's Raw. What impressed me the most was how the show opened.
Yeah, one of the better opening segments.
Look at this!
For those who want to know what I would look like in a suit.
This is amazing. That's exactly what I wanted. That's exactly it.
Glad we could make you.
Well, Raw opened up first off with Mick Foley coming to Stephanie after last week's incredible way to close the show. We said that hit that struck every chord that we needed as wrestling fans last week's Raw, and the opening of tonight's Raw, of this week's Raw, was a continuation of that, with Mick Foley questioning Stephanie about whether he believes her or not, and it was a pretty decent conversation, pretty nice exchange. So Kevin Owens comes out to a thunderous ovation. And may I remind all of you guys that Kevin Owens is supposed to be playing the heel.
Hey, and those are some pretty sweet KO side plates in that belt.
They certainly are. So what Owens did, and why I love him so much as a heel and as a worker, is what he does to turn the crowd around against him.
Happy because you, him like and all Rollins these people are really are good saying, at that. You absolutely deserve it, Kevin. Congratulations.
Hey, the one time Stephanie will say something and you got to pop.
Right. And again, like the Texas crowd last week, this week's crowd opened up with a thunderous, you deserve a chance. So what does Kevin do to sell himself on being a heel? Well,
last week when I won this title, the entire arena, as we went off the air, was chanting, you deserve it. And they're 100% right. What I don't deserve is a crowd full of idiots trying to hijack my moment. And last week was my moment, just like tonight is my moment. I've known I deserve this since the moment I stepped foot in this ring. Monday Night Raw is officially known as the Kevin Owens Show.
It sure is.
And started off with a bang.
Start off with a bang, because Seth Rollins comes out, and
just go right from the start with the Rollins stuff, because...
How could you do this to me, Stephanie? How could you do this to me after everything we've been through? I gave you everything I had, night in and night out. I put this company, your company, on my back, and I blew every ligament in my knee for it. And I came back faster than anyone could have imagined for you, and this is how you repay me.
Well, that's a great story, Seth. But you're wrong. This is absolutely about me. This is the Kevin Owens Show, haven't you heard?
Kevin, I've got no problem with you right now. I understand you are just a puppet. But if you don't shut the hell up, not even Triple H is going to be able to save you tonight. You got me?
Seth, I had absolutely no idea that Hunter was trying to come down here.
Bullcrap!
No!
Bullcrap! You expect me to believe that?
She said she had nothing to do with it.
You expect me to believe that?
She had nothing to do with it.
Oh, really?
Mick Foley.
Well, what did you have to do with it? Are you in her pocket too, huh?
No, he's not in my pocket.
Are you in her pocket too?
No one's in my pocket.
Everybody's in your pocket, and everybody knows it.
I'm not in her pocket, but I sure as hell have her back.
He's been Triple H's chosen one from day one. From the moment he stepped foot in NXT, he's had his hand held the entire way. But if you want to hitch your wagons to this guy here, make him the face of the new era, then mark my words, I will be the one to burn it to the ground. And you...
And there... Ladies and gentlemen, is the beginning of the Seth Rollins face turn.
Yep.
You're going to be on your knees, begging and pleading in a pile of rubble. You got me.
Where was this passion these past few months, huh? Because let's be honest here. Ever since you came back from your little injury, it seems to me like the architect has only been designing blueprints for, total failure.
So this sets up obviously a match at Clash of Champions.
Yep. Stephanie suspends him, and then Mick Foley unsuspends Rollins and makes the match for Clash of Champions.
I want to say the only other highlight I want to focus on for this week's Raw was Sasha Banks.
Yes.
Announcing that she was going to be appearing on Raw and what we thought was going to be,
I'm out
6 to 8 months.
She said, you know, I've got some bad news. And some people thought it was going to be she had a major injury. Some thought she was going to be out. She had to leave. Some people even thought she might be announcing that she was pregnant.
I mean, she did just get married, so maybe. We don't know.
You never know.
But here's what happened.
There's a saying that every journey has an end. And every story has a final chapter.
She Mark Henry'd us.
For years and years, the WWE Universe was searching for a revolution. Before there was a Facebook and a Twitter, before there was a thing for a chick to post on Instagram to try to get attention that has no talent.
Oh.
There was a revolution. There was women. Women like Mae Young and Fabulous Moolah, like Alundra Blaze and Luna Vachon. Women like Trish and Lita, who broke the mold and laid the foundation. These women wrote the first pages of a revolution of change. A change that became reality July 13th.
One good chapter of the Divas Revolution, followed by several years and chapters of horrible chapters.
She even took a shot at the bra and panties matches.
She absolutely did, but...
Which, of course, Vince Russo didn't like that shot, but...
To go back to your comment, she didn't Mark Henry us. I mean, part of me, like, just, like...
Oh, yeah. She Mark Henry'd the crowd.
She Mark Henry'd the crowd, but, like, she didn't sell me. Like, okay, why the hell would she be out there? Like, this...
All right. I should explain for the people who don't know what we're talking about. When we say Mark Henry'd, Mark Henry, a couple years ago, made what sounded like it was going to be a retirement speech and had everybody...
Everybody was fooled, and then he sucker punched John Cena, which was great. It was the most over Mark Henry's has ever been.
Yep.
But he was not Mark. But Sasha here is not Mark Henry in us.
So let's fast
forward a little bit here. Here's what happens between Sasha and her announcement.
We did it. We finally became what we deserved all along, to be called superstars.
It's the best acting Sasha's done.
At SummerSlam, I was pushed to my limits. No, scratch that. I was pushed beyond my limit. Charlotte tried to break my back.
You're the one asshole saying no, you weren't.
But I'm not out here to make any excuses. Charlotte beat me straight up. But I'm out here because earlier today, I met with the doctors, and I have an update on my condition, and I have some bad news.
And here comes Dana Brooke to ruin it all.
And right here is when I was like, okay, this ain't a shoot. This ain't real. What's going to happen here? Dana Brooke looking just like Natalia?
No, you look like Jinx from Pokemon.
So I have some bad news for you, Sasha.
Bad news.
I'm going to use you and your broken body to step my game up and finish what Charlotte started at SummerSlam.
Oh my God.
And she goes like she's trying, and then Sasha just...
Wait a minute, Sasha! And Sasha to the bank statement! The bank statement on Dana Brooke, who's tapping and tapping and tapping.
And now she says what the bad news is.
Actually,
where's Wade Barrett
Piggy,
when you need him?
The bad news wasn't for you. It was for Charlotte. Let her know at Clash of Champions, that title is coming back to me.
Oh, my.
Basically announcing the women's title match at Clash of Champions.
Not complaining about it, and there is a rumor... Dive into the rumor mill here. That's gonna main event the show.
Yeah, I've heard that too. That's gonna be the main event match of Clash of Champions, which would be huge.
Bravo to you ladies if you do it. So that's the highlight. And we also, now comes my, why did you do this? My why did you do this is something that we shouldn't be saying, why are you doing this? And that's Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
Why? It was a great match. Yeah, sure. They're giving it for free. The way they executed it still makes it better when they actually do it at a pay-per-view or a special, as they're calling them now.
I don't get why Zayn and Owens went at it again when just a couple of weeks ago we had the end-all be-all of their feud.
Yeah, but they're not in a feud right now. This is a match that was put together by Mick Foley.
Mike, you get what I'm trying to say here.
But from a storyline perspective, it was to get under Kevin Owens' skin because he's, again, has to face Sami Zayn.
I get the point of it to get under Owens' skin here.
And hey, I don't care. As the more matches between these two that happen, the better. This is the one feud. Like, this can still stay fresh no matter how many times they wrestle each other. It's not like John Cena, Randy Orton, where it was boring after the first four times
right,
that match happened.
Okay, I will agree with you on that. Unlike Cena, Orton, if we see this 1,000 times, we'll never get bored of it because it's great matches.
Great matches, the emotional connection, just it
originality
never,
in the ring. But my question is, I knew they were going to fight to wrestle each other again. I knew it. We knew it. We knew that their matchup battleground wasn't the end and the end all be all. We knew that.
Well, I think people thought
why are we seeing this now? It's too soon.
It's all right. So they need to give Kevin Owens like a pretty good win under his cap, but they did it in a way that still protected Sami Zayn, as you can tell with the ankle. So I get what they were doing there. I mean, what I didn't like was after the match, Roman Reigns suddenly coming out. Which, fucking Roman Reigns. I guess
his burial of Rusev wasn't enough. He needs to come after Kevin Owens now.
Yeah. Although, I think something's going to happen that's going to lead to, I think what's going to happen next week is that Rusev costs Roman Reigns the match.
God willing.
And then,
God willing,
those two fight then because every title's got to be defended.
All right. This is my WTF of the week. Not so much of the week, just why did this promo get greenlit to go on the air?
Oh, we're retirement specialists. After retiring the Dudley Boys, we now have our sights set on retiring the New Day as Raw Tag Team Champions at Clash of Champions.
Why are they doing this to these
two? That's true, see. We're here to prove to the New Day that they can find just as much fulfillment in retirement.
Okay, I know.
They do as the Tag Team Champions. So tonight,
I know why they're doing this. Those two have apparently been very funny backstage to the point where it's kind of boosting morale with a lot of wrestlers there. So now they're like, hey, let's try to make them funny on camera.
No!
Which is stupid because that's not what they're supposed to do. They should just push them as a badass tag team.
That's what they're supposed to be! They came in as a club and they're supposed to clean house, not be comedy acts! They are the comic relief. They're turning to Santino Morella 2.0, these guys.
No. They'll eventually.
This segment? Yes, they are, Michael.
Oh, this segment was horrible. Yes. No, this segment was horrible, but I think they're not going to stick with the comedy angle with them for too long because it's
they
not working.
Fucking hope
it's not getting a reaction. So eventually they're just going to revert them back to just being ruthless.
Oh,
just,
and you want to, folks, you want to see what I'm talking about here? Watch this.
We want to show all of you exactly what the New Day is like under our care in the future.
Just remember, guys, we have 4 minutes left of this.
So without further ado, the Old Day!
Oh, my God, the hilarity! The fucking hilarity! Get it? Because it's the New Day, and now they're bringing out the Old Day, get it? Because they're old news.
Yeah, they're old.
Oh, for fuck's sake, who wrote this?
They're old. Yeah.
Fuck.
It's an old day. Yes, it is.
God, look at them.
They even wrote on the Titantron the old day and slowed down their music? Someone did this in Adobe Audition.
So booty. So booty.
I had to get the audio engineer nerdy.
So booty. I just have one
Hammy
question.
Knows because...
What in the hell happened
this
to you?
This bit sucks. This bit sucks.
Well,
this bit sucks.
At Clash of Champions, you guys... Beat the pee-pee out of us.
Oh, whoa, whoa. Pee-pee? What do you mean pee-pee?
Oh, because they're old, so they say
That's
pee-pee.
Right. I said it.
You're a big
the
duty
power
head.
Of positivity.
Oh, the P.O.P. ski. I get it.
Yeah, Dr. Woods, in your medical opinion, how have we treated you in the future? Oh, jeez, he can't hear me.
It might be the hair, it might be the earwax, I don't know.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Dr. Woods, in your medical...
What made this even worse was you could clearly tell that the guys playing the old day were young.
Things aren't going well here.
Hold up, guys, seriously. If...
I've never been more happy to see the New Day in my entire life. And even the New Day has got to be like, look at Woods' face! Look at Woods' face!
He's like, what the shit are they...
What the shit...
They don't even look like them.
Are these guys burying our gimmick here? Are these guys ruining the appeal of our gimmick?
No, that's not going to happen. They're way too over at this point.
But look at Woods' face!
Yeah. He's kind of like...
He is completely disgusted.
It's someone saying, bruh.
Oh, God.
Those three are us... From the future.
Good one, guy.
then that means that we definitely shouldn't be occupying the same space right now. It's way too dangerous. I mean, we definitely shouldn't be touching one another. We shouldn't come into contact. The entire WWE universe would explode. It would be destroyed. That means no more WWE.
Look, even Woods is like, why are they trying to make this Doctor Who paradox thing a work?
Yeah.
Why are they trying to turn this into a working bit here? Oh, God. You know what? I'm executive decision here. Scrapping this bit. Just like women's matches on pay-per-views. Scrapping the bit. Goodbye. I can't watch it anymore. I was watching that and I was... That brought me back to 2010 again. That brought me back to the time where I hated watching wrestling. Oh, God. Whoever greenlit that promo to go on the air deserves to be sacked immediately.
Oh, God.
So anyhow, SmackDown.
Like this bit, that bit has a better chance of being funny than Lena Dunham has of having Odell Beckham look at her. That's how bad that bit was.
Oh,
that's how terrible it was.
Good God almighty. Yes, my head is about to explode here with that bit. All right. There's nothing really much to talk about SmackDown. Except AJ Styles wrestled Apollo Crews, I think, again.
Yeah.
Decent match.
Yeah. Shitty crowd, though.
Like, Wyatt family, by that I mean Bray Wyatt, is trying to be the cryptic guy with Target Randy Orton.
You can hear Bray Wyatt every Saturday on 360 and 420.
All right.
You're trying to follow my buzzards, man.
There's really nothing much else to discuss with Raw and SmackDown. Raw was
all right.
Started off strong, and then by the time that old day promo came on, I was ready to throw my TV out the window. I just stopped watching. I didn't watch the rest of Raw.
I wouldn't do that. I like my TV. I'm not going to throw mine out of the window because of that.
You will if the 49ers lose. Let's be real here.
I'll throw myself out of the window. No.
Especially if it's against the Packers.
No, it'd be against the Rams, which... Yeah.
All right. So let's get to that. We have a pay-per-view.
Yes.
This is a very packed weekend for sports, guys. You have UFC 203 on Saturday. You have week one of the NFL on Sunday. And Sunday night, after you're done watching football, you got pro wrestling. We have a pro wrestling pay-per-view. We have WWE Backlash.
Yeah, this is like a packed weekend. Holy shit.
This is an amazing weekend. So what do we have? Backlash. We had the first SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view, main evented by Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles.
We've got a change because on SmackDown, one of the things that we couldn't cover because we spent most of the show on CM Punk, the Usos did a heel turn and attacked and injured American Alpha. So what they're doing is for the tag team title finals, the Usos are facing the Hype Bros in a match to see who takes the place of American Alpha. And the winner of that is facing Heath Slater and Rhino.
Oh, joy.
Oh, boy, yeah. But there's The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler for the IC title, which
match one. I'm just going off the list at WWE.com. Intercontinental Championship. The Miz, which for my money is one of the best heels in WWE.
I do like there's only six.
Versus Dolph Ziggler.
I do like there's only six matches for this pay-per-view at this point because that means they're going to get some time.
I hope. But God willing, they get some time here.
This will be a good match, but I don't see. It's a hard one to predict. I mean, I know they've had these two kind of technically feuding with the whole like KFC stupid advertisements they've been doing.
I think The Miz goes over here just because of the fire he's been he's been spewing the past couple of weeks. He's been amazing to watch. I think The Miz goes over here, but like you said, Mike, they only have six matches so far, which means they could get some time to showcase their in-ring abilities. I think this match will be great,
Miz
but look for The Miz to win here. I feel bad for Ziggler, but look for The Miz to win.
Next one, Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt.
My boy Bray Wyatt.
Bray needs the win here. He needs a high-profile win.
He desperately needs one. But
which
unfortunately,
is why they're going to give it to Orton.
Which is why they're going to have Randy Orton go over, because Orton was embarrassed by Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, losing in a TKO because he got legit busted open the hard way from Lesnar. So I think Orton goes over here. Sadly, I want Bray Wyatt to win. I mean, that's my boy right there. I love Bray Wyatt. But just like what happened on Raw with the Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt's going to lose every pay-per-view and be a job squad to people.
I mean, if they're serious,
he's
going to
come out and be Cryptic Promo Man with his lanterns. He's going to target someone else, and he's going to lose again.
When did Bray Wyatt change gimmicks to an elderly Italian man?
I will admit you do the better Bray Wyatt impression of the
Who's going to have a sausage? It's like elderly...
Hey, with the cannolis!
It's like elderly Italian man mixed with Dracula trying to be Bray Wyatt.
Vinny's Bakery, we're here. Hey!
The serpent is but a mere mortal! Like something. It's weird. Like, his voice cracks a little bit that almost sounds like high-pitched Howard Jones' clean vocals. Like, it's weird.
This pus ain't al dente. He's sleeping with the fishes.
All right.
Follow the Zeppelis.
Just don't go near toll booths, Bray Wyatt. It won't end well. Italian Bray Wyatt and toll booths, just don't go there.
Italian Bray Wyatt.
Italian Bray Wyatt stinks.
Hey, that's why I've got no sleeves, huh? Hey,
One shot, bro. That's one shot.
Hey, I bought out the LED lamp now because this looks better in the club, though.
His lantern's gonna turn into a strobe light.
Yeah, his dreads will now be like slicked, like just slicked or like gelled in position.
Yes.
They're not gonna move at all.
Oh, Italian Bray Wyatt's awful.
Now
he's awful.
He'll talk about Sister Abigail, but don't make fun of his mother.
Yes.
I'm just using every hack Italian joke the comics and open mics have used to describe Italian Bray Wyatt. It's great. Oh, man.
Let me tell you about my mother. Hey, my rocking chair, it has plastic over it.
Yes, that's how you know he's gone full Italian, if he brings out plastic wrap and puts it on his rocking chair.
Before I take your head off, Randy, here's some cannolis. This match is going to have the pace of my iRockZ.
So it'll start off strong and then collapse in a matter of minutes.
Bray Wyatt's power is most effective in the Jersey Shore area during summertime.
Right, right. His hair just, his dreads will go from being dreads to one big spike.
The second he's in the proximity of Jersey, he becomes like Kyle from South Park in the Jersey episode.
Paulie D is going to join the Wyatt family on Backlash. Guarantee it. Paulie D will be the newest Wyatt family member.
Well, no, listen, knowing the way they push Bray Wyatt, they'll like force the situation on him. He'll bring Ronnie as his Braun Strowman.
Oh my god.
Hey, you know, it's funny though, it's all fun and games until Bray Wyatt punches Sister Abigail in a bar because she mouthed off too much.
You can act like a man. What's the matter with your Sister Abigail? Oh, all right.
Hey, I'm going to do the GTW, Jim Tan Wrestling. Oh!
Hickory dickory dock, Randy Orton sucking my... All right.
Is he going to overwrite every Italian player on every NFL team now, too? Hey, he's a good player, all right? They're just not playing him because he's an Italian and he'd be too good against the other people in the teams.
What's his problem here? Jews, prejudice against Italians. What's going on, Hendry? Now he's turning to Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
Randy on you, motherfucker, you.
Hammy had to say it was Joe Pesci because no one could have known otherwise.
He does these impressions, I swear. You think it's the real people.
Just all right. Unintentionally.
Yes. All right. All right, I had my fun with Italian Bray Wyatt. He stinks. In all seriousness, Randy Orton goes over here. The Usos / Hype Bros versus Heath Slater and Rhino SmackDown Tag Team Championship Tournament Final.
Speaking of bad Italian stereotypes,
yeah.
Hype Bros.
Oh, yo, bros.
Just take every Zack Ryder promo and apply it to Bray Wyatt, and you have Italian Bray Wyatt. So... I think the Usos are going to go over, and then they might actually even go over on Heath Slater and Rhino.
I think so.
Yeah. Which, and then they'll have, at SummerSlam, they'll have Survivor Series. I don't know why I mix the two, but at Survivor Series, you'll have American Alpha beat the Usos for the titles.
All right. SmackDown Women's Championship 6-Pack Challenge.
So, now... I'm going to break this down. The participants are Natalya, Naomi, Becky Lynch, Nikki Bella, Carmella, and Alexa Bliss. You can automatically eliminate four of those people as far as who's likely to win this match.
I mean, if it's anyone else other than Nikki Bella that walks out, I mean, if Nikki Bella doesn't win, it will be a shock.
I was going to say,
she's returning from injury. She's dating the guy, so... Why not give her the women's championship? It's Becky Lynch. I love Becky. She is a last kicker that kicks no last. So she's not going to win this.
You know, he said that on weeks that she's won matches.
But she's just not. She's just not going to do it.
She's actually won most of her matches since the brand split.
And not when it counts, all right?
Since the brand split, there hasn't been matches that have counted yet.
I'm picking Nikki Bella, no questions asked.
I'm thinking that it should... I mean...
Should be Becky Lynch.
Should be Becky Lynch winning it. They should give it to her. But part of me is afraid that Nikki Bella is going to get the title. Because they're just... Again, she's the type that Vince McMahon would want to push to the moon.
Happy Cena, happy company.
Like her, like him and Kevin Dunn are like looking at all these talented wrestlers and they're like... Let's have Nikki Bella break the Divas Championship record before we do away with the title. And then now they'll be like, let's make her the first SmackDown Women's Champion. And it's annoying because Becky Lynch has worked her ass off as an actual wrestler, wasn't just a failed model who was on her way to play soccer in Europe before she was convinced by her sister to try out for WWE. That's legitimately Nikki Bella. Why are... because she's being mounted by John Cena is the reason why. But it makes no fucking sense.
It makes no sense. But because she's just returned from injury, and she is, not legally or emotionally, but she is Mrs. John Cena, so she's going to get it.
hey, she's not the face that runs the place. He's not the face that runs the place anymore. AJ Styles is the face that runs the place. Because he beat John Cena.
And he beat up John Cena.
He walked out, threw a couple tweets, went to the ring, and beat up John Cena.
That's right, he did.
He went to IHOP, had a breakfast, went out, and beat up John Cena.
After going all night in the club with Italian Bray Wyatt, he beat up John Cena. Your main event, WWE Championship, Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles. If AJ Styles doesn't win this...
I know.
It's a crime against wrestling humanity. Styles doesn't win this.
He is the best wrestler on the roster. His promo game has been fantastic. His promo with Ambrose and SmackDown last night was straight up fire.
I gotta be honest though, the build up to this match has been lackluster for me. I haven't liked what I saw for build up wise, but I know the match itself will be great.
Yeah, and listen, this promo from AJ Styles, this past promo from AJ Styles and with Dean Ambrose has been great. Ambrose kind of went a little bit heel, but AJ's full on heel.
Yeah.
And they were, but like, since the brand split, Ambrose has been doing his best promo work since joining WWE.
But like I said, it's been overall lackluster. This last promo was pretty good. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. But that is your main event. And I think, Mike, both of us agree, if AJ Styles doesn't win this, there are some serious questions that need to be asked to WWE Creative regarding AJ Styles. There is so many things that need to happen immediately if AJ Styles doesn't win this. So, for that reason, we are both picking AJ Styles.
Yeah, I'm picking AJ Styles for this one.
All right. I want to end this show with a little video. It's something that you showed me the other day, Mike. And
now, speaking of backlash,
play up this video.
All right, so Rhino, under his real name Terrence Guerin, is actually running for office in Michigan. So
he's running for state representative, yep. 15th district in Michigan.
Holy shit. Oh, he has the video.
He's a legit politician.
Yeah, he's legitimately running for office while he's wrestling for WWE.
This isn't a work, guys. He is legit running for a legit public office elected official.
And there's been wrestlers throwing out their hats to endorse him. This ad we're going to show you is the latest one.
May I remind you guys, whether this is meant in a comical piece or not, what you're about to see is 100% real.
Yep.
So I'll just let it play.
And his middle name legitimately is Guido. Bray Wyatt is only unofficially.
How's it going? Good, good. My name is Kurt Angle. I'm an Olympic gold medalist. I'm going house to house.
And that is
here
his actual gold
Michigan
medal from the Olympics.
Campaigning for Terrence Guido Guerin. You may know him as Rhino. He's running for state representative. Can we count on your vote November 8th?
I'm actually undecided.
Undecided? That's really disappointing. Don't let this...
Vote for Rhino! Vote for Rhino! Vote for Rhino!
...happen to you. On November 8th, Dearborn, make sure you vote for me, Terrence Guido Guerin, for your next state representative. Why? Because I'm the most experienced and the most qualified man for the job. It's true. It's damn true.
For more information on...
Folks, that is a real commercial.
Yep. An actual commercial that has gotten airtime in Michigan.
That this may be the greatest thing I've ever seen. If you don't vote for Rhino, Kurt Angle will snap your leg in half. He will lock you in the ankle lock and break your ankle if you don't go out and vote Rhino.
Hey, what if you can't
vote for... Hashtag vote Rhino 2016.
I want to tweet Kurt Angle. What if you can't vote for Rhino because you don't live in that area? Well, I still get the ankle lock.
What if you're not a registered Republican and can vote for him?
And how,
I believe he is a Republican.
I
think he is.
In those kind of elections, you can actually vote for whoever you want.
Well, you know what? With this batshit crazy even ad, he has to be a Republican to do this.
So is Kurt Angle literally pulling a Jay and Silent Bob at the end of Strikes Back and just ankle locking everybody who doesn't vote for Rhino? Like, is that going on? I need to know this. This gives me more questions than answers.
If he can he go attack? If he's going to snap the ankles of all the negative naysayers, can he at least go to snap the ankles of angry Bernie bros that are still protesting? Can he do that?
No. How about he does that to the not so silent silent majority? But anyway,
just go to, like, every whiny person in the comment section, which would be everybody. Like, can he just do this?
Can he? All right. No, seriously. There's, like I said, there's way more questions than answers. It's like watching the end of The Sopranos or any episode of Lost. Like, I don't know what's going on here. Like, I hope. I mean, obviously, it's not going to happen. Let's be honest. But, like, part of me is like, what if it does, though? It won't. But what if it does?
Can you just imagine if, like, Steve Austin ran for office? Can you just imagine if other wrestlers ran for public office? Just imagine what this would be like.
What, Mr. Austin? What's your stance on birth control?
What?
Birth control?
What?
What?
You want to know my opinion on birth control? What?
The what? Perfect stall tactic. While he thinks of an answer, he can just do the what thing.
Yeah,
it'd be great.
Or someone like tries to slander him. Well, I heard you abused your wife.
What?
Can you just imagine Austin in a debate?
My opponent, Stone Cold Steve Austin, believes that taxing the rich isn't a way to pay for better college for all of our youth.
What? And just the audience just say what to people.
What?
That would be great. Imagine if The Undertaker ran for office. He just join my ministry of darkness, or else I'll sacrifice you on Monday Night Raw.
Like, I'll make all competitors rest in peace.
And do the eye roll? Shit. Everybody's voting for him then.
You'd be terrified not to vote for The Undertaker.
Well, duh.
You'd be scared out of your mind.
Who wouldn't be scared out of their mind?
Vote Ric Flair, or else he'll fuck your wife for you.
No, Hammy. Someone else's wife is too old for Ric Flair. Vote for Ric Flair, or he'll fuck your daughter.
No, I'm sorry. Oh, no.
Or his girl's running his daughter's age.
His running mate would be Jerry the King Lawler. That'd be a perfect match.
Oh, could you imagine just the creepiness in that campaign?
Grandpa's going to the strip clubs.
Could you imagine them on Fox News talking to Megyn Kelly?
Oh, my.
Not Ann Coulter, though.
Right, because she doesn't understand humor. Jesus,
at all.
By the way, Jesus Christ, did you see the Rob Lowe roast?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. You want to see someone with no charisma? I thought Jack Thwagger was someone without charisma. Watch Ann Coulter from the Rob Lowe roast. Wow.
Mike, the Situation Sorrentino, you are off the hook, buddy. Holy crap.
If not, you just got a new buddy to be on the hook with.
She just made the Situation's Trump roast set look like any Greg Giraldo roast set.
Oh, my God.
Do you realize how hard that is to do? Fucking impossible. Oh, God. Why was she on that? Why did Rob Lowe just say, hey, let's get someone who's going to bomb horribly and let's just pick Ann Coulter?
She was going there just to promote her Trump book. I mean, yeah. And all these roast people are there because they have something to promote. Like, now, they have one athlete there that everyone knows and loves, and this year is Peyton Manning. They had the usual comics that don't do anything else but these roasts.
Oh, no, because, like, all right, so I was telling this one over here. They have a formula for who they pick for these roasts. You've got the couple comics that are working with Comedy Central. So in this instance, it was Nikki Glaser, who has a show there. Pete Davidson is kind of on there now, mostly because of the fact that he's on Saturday Night Live. So, I mean, there was that. And then you had the one athlete, which is Peyton Manning, which, let's face it, he has nothing else to do. He's retired, and he's got very good comedic timing, so it's kind of a perfect
fit. What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
By the way, we're going to close the show with this. We do have to get out of here. So I just, because we talked a little political stuff tonight, I want to bring everyone's attention to this. We're going to end the show with this. This is possibly the next president of the United States getting stunned by Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Wait! Hey! Oh, Austin! Austin stunned the Donald!
What? Which, by the way, I don't think I want to vote for Donald Trump just because he didn't sell the stunner. Right. That was a horrible sell,
yeah,
Donald.
Yeah, going by that logic, vote for The Rock. Because at least he can sell a stunner, damn it.
There you go. Steve Austin stuns Donald Trump. This is something to make all people happy. There you go. Steve Austin giving a Stone Cold stunner to Donald Trump.
What?
So with that.
What? Oh, God.
This isn't a debate, Mr. Austin. This isn't, like, what we need to do here. What? I swear to God, I want to see Stone Cold Steve Austin in a debate so badly. It'd be great.
Oh, and I should point out, too, I did get something funny in the mail today from, speaking of stupid Donald Trump. some, like, Republican organization had a thing. Want to meet the Donald? They're like, we're doing our local thing. And we asked him to join us, so he might be there. I'm like, I might be considering throwing this piece of paper in the garbage.
That's all right. The other week, well, Jehovah's Witnesses stopped coming to my house because...
Because you came out wearing that.
Well, needless to say, I was wearing a lot less than this when I answered the door.
Oh, fucking hell.
And... Just to add it to measure, I painted a pentagram on my chest and answered a door. I took a Sharpie out, drew
you
a little
would.
Pentagram right here and answered the door like, hey, what's up?
Nope. What you doing, bro?
And they haven't been back since.
Thought this is America.
I will say this, though. To Bernie Sanders supporters, and when Bernie was still in this thing, nothing turned me off more about Bernie than having his supporters call me at 6 in the morning on a Saturday to ask for my vote. No, that is the quickest way to not get someone's vote. It's calling them at 6 a.m. on a Saturday. But anyhow,
just because you're a cranky pants, Hammy.
I am a cranky pants, and we're completely off track. So let's reset here. CM Punk fighting UFC 203. This Saturday, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, not really that good. CM Punk, lasting legacy on the world of pro wrestling, both in the indies and in WWE, fights his first MMA fight against Mickey Gall this Saturday, UFC 203. Look out for the next podcast of the Cage Crew being released Friday at 4 p.m. They'll have more in-depth analysis of the card. And don't miss Backlash! Sunday!
Yes! Watch it.
Along with week one of the NFL.
Fuck Sunday Night Football. Watch Backlash, and then I'll watch Monday Night Football.
Who's the Sunday Night game?
I have no clue.
Alright, whatever. This is Brain Street Wrestling Podcast. Will be posted almost immediately after the show. Video podcast released tomorrow, 6 a.m. If you're watching on a video podcast, thanks a lot for watching. If you're listening, thanks for listening. We will be back next week, 10 to 11 p.m. on BrainSteerRadio.com. Take care, guys.